If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
All right. How are you getting on? You well? You good? Or should I say, ho, 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 you're sledding on? Because Christmas. No, look, how are you doing? You good? How's things? Have you got all your bits? I had for lunch there. I was going into the deli, the Costcutter deli, and I'm a coward. I'm a coward when it comes to the deli. The deli, I approach the deli, and it's a big bra, you know, I'm drawn to it. But then, when they're like, all right, what are you going to do about it? You know, then I just fumble. I fumble like, hey, coleslaw and jalapeno and what's the driest cold deli meat you have? You know, I fumble it every single time. So I was going to go in, because you know what I like? I like loading up. It feels very un-Irish of me, but I was watching this fitness fella and he's like, this is how much protein you can get from a deli. Now he's talking about it like a New York deli. And he's like, you just say a double portion of turkey, a double portion of ham, you know? So I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a brown bread sandwich with a double portion of turkey and a double portion of ham. Because sometimes I feel like I should just say that up front, because a lot of time I'm like, can I get a bit more, please? I'm willing to pay extra as well. Like, I'm apologizing. I'm giving you cash. This is what I need to remind myself. These people should be like, how do we get rid of all this fucking ham? Oh my God. Oh, hang on. There's a hero who's just arrived. Fucking Scrooge McDuck here with coins coming out of his eyes. Like he's crossing the River Styx, but he's also alive. You know? He's got coins coming out of every orifice, this cunt. And he wants double portion of ham. Thank God. What were we going to do with all this ham? That is the actual. That's how transaction works. That's how capitalism works, all right? We're all just rubes. And I'm the fucking rube who wants all of your ham and turkey. So I'm getting shy about it. Is it okay if I give you more money? Can I also have more ham? Yeah. That's how economics works. But yeah, I'm shy about it. So I was going to be like, that's what I say sometimes. Sorry, do you mind if I throw a bit more ham on there? And look, I will give you, I'll do anything for you. You know what I mean? I'll do anything for you. Please, you know, I'm getting all apologetic about it. But I was like, no, I'm going to go in there today for the first time ever and be like, kind of a brown bread sandwich, right? Do you have any light mayo? Of course I don't, right? And can I get a double portion of ham, double portion of turkey, some onions on it, some lettuce, no lettuce. There's no point of fucking lettuce, right? It doesn't do anything. Just get the tomato. Just put the tomato on there. Lettuce is doing nothing. This is not like fancy lettuce. There is not a dressing. There is no way of tasting the lettuce. It isn't filling. Getting lettuce at a deli is just like, hey, can I spend 40 cents just to take the edge off this? Just so I already don't like myself particularly well today. But if I put lettuce on there, then, you know, I can do some kind of girl math in my head. You know, esteem math in my head to make it feel like I'm not a wordless piece of shit. You know, I made the effort. I asked him for lettuce. Excuse me, I could have used both those fillings for cheese. I didn't. I used one of the fillings for tomato, one of them for lettuce. Excuse me. I could have used them, you know. I could have gone sliced cheese and grated cheese, but I didn't. All right, so I'm actually saving money. But anyway, there was a guy in front of me. I had a plan I was going to get tomato on it. So I had a plan, and then the guy in front of me looked like he's a guy who got his shit together, right? He had a lanyard. So I was like, fuck, I don't have a lanyard. I'm wearing a hoodie. This guy's got a lanyard. You know, thank God I'm not out in the dating market at the moment, you know. This guy's got a lanyard and a fade, you know, and he looked like he got his shit together. He had a pair of glasses on him that were not stylish, you know, looked like he maybe had just left them on from looking at the computer, you know, because he's a handsome man. You know, tall, good posture, better nick than me. And he goes up to order, and he orders, I didn't even know you could do this. He's like, can I have two slices of bacon, a spicy chicken and cheese, please, and a roll? I'm like, what the fuck? This doesn't look like every day for you, bro. What's going on? But then I was like, that actually sounds much better. And then I was like, do you know what, I'm the same as him, you know? And so then when he left, and when he was out of earshot, even though he was right beside me and the lady was like, what do you want? And I was like, and I was waiting for him to leave. Can I just have this? Can I just have the same as that man? She goes, yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. So that's what I had. I had a fucking, I mean, bacon, chicken fillet bacon burger with more bread. Can I get a chicken fillet bacon burger with extra bread, please? Would never order that. Somehow at a deli, that doesn't feel like the biggest fast food taboo, you know? So at the moment, I have that kind of like, you know, when the bread feels like it's lodged in my heart, you know? And my breaths are kind of coming short and fast, like little bursts. Not burping, but kind of like, you know, that kind of thing. So that's where we are. We're here. It's the greatest time of the year. The Late Late Toy Show Review. The fourth annual Late Late Toy Show Review. And I want to thank you so much. You, the listener. Especially those of you who listened to maybe the first one. Back in 2019, 4 years ago. When I was like, I need to figure out how I can talk for an hour. What will I do? Well, I just watched Late Late Toy Show. Maybe I could talk about that. And the rest is history. So I want to thank everyone who's been listening since then. You've been with me in the highs, in the lows, in the sleep deprived. In the sick, in the, you know, through pandemics, supported me on Patreons, you know, gone to gigs, gone to live podcasts. This has been the single most enjoyable thing that I've done in my career. And it's been the most consistent thing. And I want to thank you for being there. Even if, look, I'm going to be a bit soppy with you. Even if you have not had good days, and we've all had bad days, but a very fucking bad day last week. We all had a fucking national tragedy of a fucking day, which I'll talk about in just a second. But we've had good days and bad days, and maybe you listen to this podcast and you might have a bad day. I know some people message me sometimes and say, I was actually in a real fucking failure and listened to your podcast and I got in a better form. What can I say to you? That the fact that you're there, and whenever you listen, you've made every day that I do this a very good day, because I've always walked in here, and I don't visualize anyone specifically when I'm speaking to, but I am speaking to you because you listen. So when I've had very bad days, I've just picked myself up and I'm like, you know what? No matter what, I need to speak to that person or those people, and you're those people. So thank you for dragging me along and getting me up and out. You have been, by just you listening, just your ear holes alone have been like, you know, compassionate personal trainers, just being like, come on, get up, come on, do this, go on, do it for them, go on, get up and get out, and just make sure you just show up on the day, and just make sure you show up every week, and just do it for them. That's all you have to do. Don't worry if you think about it's going to be good or bad. Sometimes it'll be good, sometimes it'll be bad, but get up and do it. So thank you very much for that. I do very much appreciate that. I want to talk a bit about, very briefly, because I want to talk about the toy show. I want to have a bit of fun and talk about Patrick Keelty's Paddy, as he's known to his friends, is Late Late Toy Show debut. But I want to talk a bit about Thursday. About, because on Friday we were watching the toy show, and you know, there was a weird vibe all day. Because you had in one day on Thursday the saddest thing that I can ever hear happening, you know, on a news story, followed by just the most disappointing thing, you know, all happening within, you know, a fucking square kilometer of each other, and just awful. But I don't want to get too focused on the wrong thing here. On Thursday, there was some kids. The fucking guy showed up at a school with a knife, was walking outside the school waiting for the kids to come out, and then tried to stab as many kids as he could. He stabbed three and stabbed some of the adults who were literally using themselves as a human shield in between a fucking big knife-wielding madman and kids, just literally getting in the way of a fucking knife to protect kids. And it was awful. It's just awful. And everyone was talking about it. No one could believe it. There was an energy about it, like what we do, which is amazing in this country, where something happens and we radically want to do something about it to make sure something like that can't happen again, or we want to ask questions, or we want to get to the bottom of it. These things are so infrequent, luckily, that when they do happen, it gets a national conversation happening. But then what followed, of course, was a bunch of right-wing lunatics, a bunch of very, very mad people, a bunch of very, very mad people, some of which were right-wing extremists, going out, not even doing a march, but just going out in balaclavas to riot, burning out Lewis's, burning out a bus, burning out Garda cars, kicking the heads off fucking innocent guards, unarmed innocent guards walking down the road, looting footlockers, breaking into fucking McDonald's to turn the McFlurry machine on and leave it overnight. Nice one. Unreal. Thank God for all the lactose intolerance. They're like, thank fucking God. I feel safer. You wasted all the McFlurry ice cream. It's people like you that ruin when we want to have a fucking milkshake and they're like, the ice cream machine's broken. Do you know what I mean? You've ruined it. Anyway, all in the name of Ireland, they were saying, you know, going out. There was apparently, don't know how much this is misinformation or whatever, but they were going to head down to fucking Varadkar's house and try and get him. Get him, you know, like fucking dogs chasing a car. You don't know what you're going to fucking do. You've no fucking plan here. And what was so disappointing was that on the Friday, when it should have been a night of fucking vigils for the kids, or, you know, thoughts and prayers or whatever it is. And I think we can use that term, fucking thoughts and prayers. We're not America. This isn't fucking gun crime. You know, we could have been thinking about what we can do. Now, the guards responded in 3 minutes to this thing happening. You know, I know there's now talks of more Garda clampdowns, but what's so disappointing is that on the night of and the day after, we should have been talking about the kids, talking about how something like this can happen. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about defense and guards and all this stuff, but the guards responded in 3 minutes, right? We should have been having a conversation about children's welfare, children's fucking health. Where's the fucking children's hospital? If this man had broken into the whole school and killed everyone, or tried to kill everyone, do we have the adequate facilities to have looked after every single fucking kid? If a travesty like this were to happen again, where's the fucking children's hospital? You know? When is it getting here? Where's Poochie? What is being done for people with schizophrenia? What is being done to make sure that people who are mentally ill and violent are not out on the street, or are being looked after or cared for or kept somewhere safe and comfortable? What about the school? Does the school have the adequate facilities? Does the school have enough first aid kits? You know, is the school looked after? Is the school in a rich area? No. Could the school, and what of the schools, are they underfunded? Is there training in any kind of first aid, or whatever it is, whatever conversation you want to have? It should just be children's welfare, mental health facilities. Maybe if you want to talk about how the guards can respond quicker, fine. If there's procedures that mean that the guards can get around the corner at quicker time, sure. I'm always open for hearing about that, right? Instead, the conversation is now, where are we getting our fucking water cannons? Where are we getting our water cannons? We need to, and I hear on the fucking Radio 1, we need to make sure that this can never happen again. Dublin is a safe destination. We need to, I don't want to overly empathize here with the perpetrators of the riot, right? But they're not happy. They're very unhappy, right? Has anything been done to figure out why some people would be that unhappy to do this thing? It's so disappointing to even be talking about the fucking riots and not just putting this all on welfare of the kids, right? Or mental health facilities or healthcare in general, right? And what can be done to improve that, right? But I feel like there's also no fucking conversation about why a small 0.00% of people can rile up that many people who aren't really that right wing. Why are people breaking into a Foot Locker? Why are people so unhappy? Why is there such inequality? Why, you know, or even why is there a rise of right-wing extremism, a small fringe group of right-wing extremism that can coordinate something like this? Why is this happening? Why would they feel like they have to be seen like this? Why do they feel like they have to fucking light up a Lewis like a fucking torch of fucking Gondor just to be seen? Why do they feel that way? I do not in any way empathize. I don't know if empathize is the right word. I do not in any way condone what they've done. I'm so disappointed by what's happened. It is not done in Ireland's name, in the name of these kids, in the idea of making anyone feel fucking safe. McDonald's is overflowing. McFlurries, yeah, we're all fucking great now. Thanks very much. Thanks so much. When you've got nurses in their fucking rotunda that can't leave. When there's women who want to give birth and can't get into the fucking hospital to give birth. And you're saying you're doing this for kids. So I don't buy by any of that. But I also don't agree with a lack of communication about housing people in a housing crisis with no communication to the community about it. You know? And it's so and I also didn't really like the fucking rhetoric of, the scum or fucking, you know, just racists and, you know, and just to be so, it's not that simple, unfortunately. There's a lot of people in that area who just feel so fucking invisible and they're like, I need you to see me right now. And I think about in my lifetime when, you know, say Trump was elected. What? I can't believe that. That is not at all what was reflective on my newsfeed. They vote Brexit in. What? I don't believe that. That is not at all reflective of what I see in the community. And I was living in London at the time. And then something like this happens and I'm like, sorry, there's right-wing fucking extremists setting shit on fire in Dublin. That, again, blindsided, right hook, out of nowhere. Because my world is not the rest of the world. And the world that we think that we have and the bubble that we have is not the rest of the world. I was even thinking about it because I was in town that day. It was Indy's birthday, your first birthday, and we're in town. And, you know, I drive into town. I park in an expensive car park. You know, I'm only going to be there for an hour. I'm popping onto the Grafton Quarter. The fucking Grafton Quarter. I'm going into M&S to get a caterpillar cake that costs 16 quid. She is amazed by the fucking bright lights of Brown Thomas. So I bring her over to show her like the Christmas display of Brown Thomas. Like, and I remember going home that, you know, I remember, but it was just fucking last week. But I went home and when I saw the riots happening, I was like, I can't believe this is the same city. But it is a completely different Dublin. It is. It's a completely different, there's the haves and the have-nots. And not everyone that was involved in that riot was a right-wing extremist. A lot of them were just, hey, I don't have fucking anything here, and I'm not being listened to, and I'm angry. I'm not saying that we open the fucking floodgates to hate speech. I don't want to hear any of that shit. I don't like this. We'll just have completely unbiased free speech model that fucking Elon Musk is pushing on Twitter or any of that shit. I don't want to hear it, but we're going to keep getting blindsided if we refuse to acknowledge that there's a lot of very angry people out there, and a lot of people who feel like they don't have a lot, and that people who have just come into the country have more than they do. And in some cases, that's true. And, you know, but there's also, I mean, look, there's also so much more to this. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying entirely empathize. I feel like we should have woken up on Friday talking about united as a country, everyone from all walks of life. What can we do to protect kids better? What can we do to help that area better? Are the kids outside of this even situation feeling safe walking home from school? You know, what can we do to help that? What can we do in Dublin One, even just to start? What's up with the other schools in that area? You know, this school that's just down the road, you know, they've had issues like this of children feeling intimidated walking home. You know, we should have all been, and we can all get behind that. We can all get behind the idea of kids feeling safer walking home from fucking school. I'm repeating myself now, but I feel like we should have been talking about the welfare and protection of people. And now we're talking about fucking water cannons. And now even just talking about it, just referring to everyone that was involved as a fucking thug, as a fucking scumbag. And it's very similar, but like not, it's not the same. It's not the same at all, but it's very similar kind of language of just like you label someone a thug or a scumbag in the same way you label this fucking, whatever this guy's problem was, this schizophrenic, as like evil. Do you know what I mean? When you say evil or when you say thug or scumbag, it cuts off any further investigation as to why someone would do something. Like, we should be holding the politicians' feet to the fucking fire as to why some mentally unstable person could be walking around the street with a knife, in the same way we should be holding their feet to the fire as to why hundreds of people are so angry that they... What are the policies? What policies have led to this many people out on the street burning Lewis's, right? And if defense is one of them, you can look at that. But what else is it? What are the other factors? What is it? Is it unemployment? Is it homelessness? Anyway, I'm repeating myself. It was a fucking weird vibe. I was thinking, and now Keelty's going to come out dressed as the fucking Gruffalo. And what is he going to do here, you know? So I'm going to talk about the Late Late Toy Show now. But I felt like I had to just get that to say that because it was very disappointing. Anyway, we're moving on. Hey, look, hey, woo, Late Late Toy Show. So look, Keelty's first toy show. Anyway, I just had to say that because I felt like the energy was fucking palpable on the day, and it kind of colored a little bit the way we were kind of watching the show. And I was like, after the day, after the most saddening afternoon and then disappointing evening, I was like, what's going to happen now? Fucking Keelty coming out dressed as the Gruffalo? Like, what the fuck is he doing now? But anyway, how it starts is it's kind of got a bit of an elf theme. Anyway, a few kids looking in a snow globe. They're looking at Keelty. Pennies from Heaven is playing. The premise here seems to be that Keelty is a reluctant host, and kids are trying to dress him up as an elf, and he's kind of like, oh, bah, humbug a little bit. But then one of the kids puts like an elf hat on him, and he starts smiling loads, which I didn't get. I would just say for the pacing, I didn't quite get that. I think you need a nice rule of three. They try and put some jingly boots on him. He's like, no. They try and put tights on him. He's like, no. And then they try and... then maybe they try and put the hat on him or something like that. And then he's like, oh, okay. But instead, it's like they put the hat on him and it's like the cordyceps has infused with his skull and all of a sudden he's jovial. He pulls the weirdest, creepiest smile and he's absolutely delighted with himself. He's making hot chocolate like they do in Elf. A load of fucking, you know, marshmallows and sauce and all this stuff. It's all a bit of fun. Then the big kids come out. It isn't cute anymore. It's the Spotlight Stage School. Look, they're very good dancers, but it's not cute anymore. You had some tiny kids running around the video. That was cute. Now, just kind of big, you know. You're kind of that kind of length where you're not quite a boy, you know. Not quite a man. You're just kind of like, you know, all these kids are like one arm longer than the other. You know, that kind of age. It's kind of that weird age, right? It's not really cute. The kids aren't cute. And it's the Spotlight Stage School again. And I wonder sometimes if the Spotlight Stage School seems to have like a monopoly over performing in Montrose. I wonder if they're called the Spotlight Stage School because they're like the fucking movie Spotlight and they have some fucking pedo expose. They have some pedo expose on the execs in RTE. Who's to say? And they're like, hey, if you don't let our kids dance on the show, we're going to release this like the film Spotlight. That's why we called ourselves Spotlight. Who's to say? But anyway, the kids are good dancers. Then they do a bit where a girl is meant to be like getting really tall. And like her tights are kind of grow. She's on a harness, but her shoes stay in place and her legs look like they're getting really big. But the fucking clowns get the wrong angle. And you can see her kind of... She was obviously meant to be like standing behind Keelty in a framed shot, static shot of him dancing with the elves and all the Santa Claus coming to town. And then she was meant to kind of, I think, be craned out of shot and have her legs look like they're still growing. Instead, they have the side angle and the effect is completely lost. So they kind of blew that. Keelty, sorry, an important part here is he comes out of a toy machine, right? Doing the splits. But they're fake legs. These are fake legs. And but it's a good effect, you know. It's money well spent on a kind of conveyor belt kind of vibe. I think that's kind of, it's a good practical effect, I have to say, you know. I mean, yeah, it's not Pat Kenny coming out on an elephant. But, you know, it's money well spent. The money is on the stage. Then Keelty's a big softie. He says he's going to offer an extra hug to everyone tonight, and everyone's hugging their kids a little bit tighter tonight. Doesn't overdo it, which is good. The kid is still up in the fucking harness, right? Song's finished. It's a big number. It's good, you know. And Keelty's a big softie. He just says, look, I'm going to offer an extra hug tonight to everyone who needs one, you know. He's obviously not, because he understands his kid's watching the show and he's not going to be like, oh yeah, I'm sure the parents haven't said to their kids that, you know what, you know, haven't said, told them that the awful news from yesterday, you know, but doesn't overdo it. Eases us in like a nice warm bath, I have to say. You know, I was like, how is he going to do this? And I'm like, this is how he's going to do it. He's going to fucking present the toy show. And you're like, okay, I think that's exactly what we need right now. So, and Keelty also calls out the fucking cameraman that blew the shot, which is exactly the kind of whoosh, you know, not my time. I'm picturing him like J.K. Simmons, you know, just really whipping those boys in Montrose into shape. So that was, I was well into that now, I have to say. Then Amelia comes out. She does a bit of sign language. Keelty tells everyone that you can also watch this signed and subtitled and everything. It's very inclusive. It's very sweet. And now we got the fucking big dog. You want to call this chap Atlas because he propped up the show. He carried the fucking show on his back all night, this chap. I'm not talking about Keelty. I'm talking about a little kid called Elfish Presley we're talking about here. Right? This guy. He looks about 5 years of age. He looks tired now, I have to say. They all look pretty tired. It's very late. I don't know why they don't have the show on at 7 o'clock, right? Very late. It's a very, very late show. Late, late show. And they're like, here's our resident elf, Elfish Presley. Great pun. Like, this is the sort of, whoever in the joke writing team was like, suppose we could get a fucking little kid, call him Elfish Presley, have him do the same dance 90 times. Give them the big books. Have them be head writer next year, whoever was writing the show, right? Elfish Presley comes out, does the business. He's just basically pointing, and then, like, he's kind of like he's kind of coordinating traffic, kind of point with one finger, doing the Elvis, kind of spinning the wheelbarrow with the other. I'm not going to give him a review just yet, but he'd be up there. Elfish Presley to be reviewed soon. So the show is already moving on at a different pace than it did with Tubbs. It still has, doesn't really have the bad puns, but we don't need it. I mean, there was a bunch of wasted time with the puns, you know? He's just presented. This is what's happening. We're on rails here, right? And then we meet Nisha and Oisin, as Keelty's calling him. Name's Oisin, right? But whatever, Keelty keeps calling him Oisin, right? And they're presenting this kind of pizza parlor kind of thing. Now, he's calling him Oisin, right? And then all of a sudden he's like, so Oisin. And I'm like, oh, hang on, what happened here? And I see one of the big grown-ups, maybe a researcher or whatever, slink away from behind the toy chest. And I'm like, there was a fucking lad off screen whispered in his ear saying, call him Oisin. And I was like, hey, no fucking flies on me. I spot everything, right? Anyway, it's Nisha and Oisin, and they're showing off some pizza. So then Keelty's like, all right, what we put on the pizza? Nisha wants lemon. Oisin wants to put pear on the pizza. And I said to my wife, I said, Terry, need to bring these kids to fucking Bambino's, bro. Bring these fucking kids to Bambino's. Show them a real fucking pep slice. These kids never had a pizza in their life. Should they have been the pizza gurus, you know, of this show? Because they don't know what one is. You know, they're putting lemon and fucking pear on it. Then they do a bit of a supermarket thing. All they put in the trolley is lobsters and bananas. All of a sudden, Keelty's got a string of fucking garlic wrapped around his neck. He obviously must have found out, maybe while the researcher was in his ear, he was like, oh, by the way, his name is Oisin, and he's a vampire. He's 700 years old. Being like, what? Keelty immediately gets the fucking garlic on. Oisin is rocking a Chelsea boot. Maybe Keelty thought Oisin was a vampire because he's rocking a pair of denim leggings and Chelsea boots. And maybe Keelty is just not familiar with that kind of, you know, Shoreditch goth kind of look. And he's like, this kid must be a vampire. Can I have the garlic around my neck right now? So they fuck this concoction all in a pizza oven. The banana, pear, lemon and lobster. And then it comes out a real pizza. And it looks like they ordered it. They could have easily just put a fucking Goodfellas now, to be fair. It looks like an ordered pizza. It looks like maybe they got it from Romeo's of Donnybrook. And they could have easily just got a Goodfellas and saved some money on something else. So I would be having a good look at them fucking receipts now, why they need to order a Romeo's. Now, I know the audience were eating it. Maybe they can get it away with any kind of expense, catering, whatever. But they could have easily done it with like a Dr. Utker. Anyway, look, just show me the receipts. Anyway, so then they put like a cookie in like an Easy Bake Oven or something, and that doesn't even come out. Nisha's now gone. Nisha's gone walkabout, leaving poor Oisin click-clocking around the stage in his Chelsea boots. He makes Paddy an Americano. No, he makes him a cappuccino, even though Keelty specifically asked for an Americano. We eventually find Nisha. She was hiding behind the pizza oven. Keelty wheels the pizza oven out of the way, and Nisha's just standing there. And I have to say, look, Oisin, you're a style champion. You've got a cool Shoreditch vampire aesthetic. I'm going to be giving you 3 stars. I think you worked hard. You didn't have a good partner in Nisha. Nisha, I'm going to be giving you 1 star, love. And I hope you don't cry, right? You're just a small child. But you cannot. Look, I've been in some bad improv before in my life, all right? But you never leave the stage. You can never leave the stage. You cannot leave your partner high and dry on that. I know the pizza bit wasn't working for you, hon, but yeah, that doesn't mean you can leave the stage, right? I'm going to chalk this down to nerves, but I'm still going to only give you one star. We then move on to Anna, who's rocking some Gabby's Dollhouse toys. Not a huge fan of Gabby's Dollhouse. It's very toyetic. You know, it's an industry term, being like a piece of property kind of based around flogging toys. Now, this is fucking rich coming from me. Like, He-Man is exclusively based on the toy line, and they brought in new characters from the Turtles all the time so they could sell more toys. You know, I've bought all the toys. I had Terminator toys, right? So, I don't know. There's something about Gabby's Dollhouse. I think it is. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it comes from? I feel like Gabby's Dollhouse is based on, you know, like Ryan? Is that his name? Ryan's World? That kid on YouTube that plays with toys that has like 100 million subscribers, and all he does is just review toys. And now he's got his own kind of toy line. I think even now as an adult, even though it was probably like 20 or 30 when I found out about this kid, Ryan, playing with toys on YouTube, I was jealous even at 30. And I'm not over being jealous of this kid. And Gabby's Dollhouse reminds me of that kid, and I hate Gabby's Dollhouse. So that's just my whole shit that I'm dealing with right now. But there seems to be a lot of toys in this show. They bring out these things called Biggies, which is kind of like a Panettone box that you pump up with a foot pump, and then a little plush inflatable toy pops out. There's a lot of one-and-done toys. There's another one later on where, like, Beast Lab, where you can kind of make a beast with goo. It seems to be one-shot only, like 109 quid. There's, like... we'll get to that later. There's also like a Hello Kitty kind of coffee cup that you pour water on the top and the top kind of disappears and then you pull out a little plush. A lot of one shots. A lot of one shots. You know, wouldn't really fly in my day, but whatever. So they pump up the Biggie and Biggie then starts rapping. I think it's Biggie and Diddy. They kept saying it's Biggie, but I'm pretty sure it was Diddy who was rapping. Was it Mo Money, Mo Problems? But I think they thought that they would be able to like get away with just the intro, but they're still pumping when the rap kicks in, and then that's when Keelty's like, oh, there's some very colorful language there, I really thought we weren't going to get this far. So then he reefs the Biggie out of the box unpumped, and it looks like he's holding a bashed seal pup, and doesn't do well. I wouldn't buy a Biggie after seeing this, shall we just say. Then Anna starts jumping over a kind of Wipeout style death trap, kind of like a moving skipping rope. It's covered in foam. I think it looks like they put foam on it. I don't know what's under the foam. Maybe knives. Probably not. And then Anna keeps going. She's got a lot of energy. I'm going to give her 3 stars. She didn't make a huge impact. Do you know what? I'm going to give her 2 stars, right? And I'm actually going to give Oisin 2 stars as well. It takes a lot to be a 5-star kid for me. We're talking John Joe's, or we're talking about incredible bravery, incredible perseverance, you know, or just a good laugh. That's a 5-star kid. 4-star is, oh, this kid's got a good bit of crack. 3-star is good. 2-star is bad. And 1-star, 2-star is maybe like okay, but kind of forgettable. And 1-star is kind of like a waste of my time, love, you know, so... I'm going to give Anna 2 stars, and I'm going to give Oisin 2 stars. With the greatest respect, if anyone ever spoke to my kids like this, I would fucking go through them for a shortcut. But, you know, this is the 4th year. We got to keep doing this shit. Anyway, I also noticed there was a serious lack of quips from Keelty. Now, Terry was like, oh, he's just letting the kids play with the toys. He's just focusing on the toys. And I'm like, yeah, but... Like, even Gabo would kind of, like, look at the screen like he's, like Oliver Hardy. Do you know what I mean? Or something, or Jim from The Office. Tubbs would just nervously kind of feel the energy. Now, it feels more relaxed. It doesn't feel like anything's going wrong with Keelty. It's very competent hands. But I did notice at this point a serious lack of quips. I'm like, why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say something else? Where's his focus now? Is he too in his head? Anyway, Elfish comes back. He misses his cue. Doesn't matter. Camera's just focused on him. He's looking at the camera. I mean, it's very late. It's like 10:15 for this 5-year-old. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, shit. And he starts swinging the arm around. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He knows when to turn it on when the camera's on. So the audience get 150 quid from IKEA, which, you know, fairly classic present, you know. You could get 2 couches for that, maybe even 3. You can get 5 shit couches for that. So that's pretty good. But if you're going to IKEA, you know, you're probably going to drop another 200 quid on top of that, you know. But... tell you, you can get a lot from that now. I'm a huge fan of IKEA. Then you got the kids from, I don't know if it's Spotlight this time. I think it could be Miss Ali, and they come out to sing Naughty, a little bit naughty, and no one does the really good dance from it, you know, that kind of popping and locking and bit that was a huge TikTok trend of people dancing to that song. And then anyway, then we see these kids, and they're all huge fans of Matilda. Tess says she's seen it in the cinema once, and she's seen it 18 times at home. They love it. There happens to be a big poster, that looks so thin you could almost walk through it, of Alicia. Alicia, who is Matilda in the movie, does a video message. And I have to say, it's a little bit wooden. It's a little bit, hello everyone, the Late Late Show. And I don't want to be having a dig. She's a very good actor, but you know what I mean? I think the child actors sometimes get a pass because their parents are actors. And they've actually learned phonetically the night before, because their parents have been like, no, do the line again, do the line exactly how I'm saying it with this level of inflection, and then look down at this point, and they kind of learn it. It's very, very rehearsed, you know? You're just doing reps at home for your fucking dinner, do you know what I mean? And I think that her parents really should have helped her, just even to save face with this video message, because it's a little bit wooden. So obviously she has to come out, because there's a poster, very thin, you know, as I said, looks almost like you could step through it. And they sing the song. They sing a little bit naughty. It's okay. Again, they're missing that kind of pop and lock and movement that I saw, because the actual dancing in that scene of the movie is incredible. You know, it's some expert fucking choreo. And I would say this is a bit amateur, and it's good. Like, but it's the sort of shit that I'm after. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh yeah, these are just normal people. You know, because sometimes you can have people really going for it, and it not quite sticking the landing, and that's harder. And then you can have some people who fucking kill it on the toy show, like Voice of an Angel, or like being like, oh my god, this is a future star here. You know, but I like people who are just like, oh yeah, they actually just are giving it with gusto. They're like a bunch of Pierce Brosnans in Mamma Mia. Do you know what I mean? Just like not quite hitting the notes, but they're having a great time, and I'm here for it. And then Alicia does come out, and the girls can't believe it, and she hugs the kids, and I cried. One of the kids also seems like they're like 30, but even they're crying, which makes me think that they are a kid and I'm an asshole. So it's very sweet. Then so I give their performance 3 stars. I give their performance 3 stars, which is good by my scale. Alright then Keelty gets a Stetson on, brings out Freya from Lucan. She takes out these little horses, Lear and Popcorn. Popcorn looks pure evil. Popcorn has these black eyes, chief, like a doll's eyes. One of the horses looks like kind of Black Phillip from The Witch, you know. Dost thou desire butter? Dost thou desire butter? You know, that kind of vibe, like it's talking to her. They do a kind of thing where they're playing with horses, jumping over things. Keelty's trying to do a kind of show jumping commentary. And you know what? It's a bit too much fucking focus on the toys. You know, like, I know I give out some years and I'm like, Tubbs isn't putting a focus on the toys. This is a bit too much focus on the toys. I'm like, can we not get a sweet spot here? A few fucking quips. I was like, what will the toy show look like in the hands of a competent comedian? And at the moment, I'm not fucking seeing one. I'm with the greatest respect to Keelty. I hope to be on your show sometime, bro. Right? I like you as a person. But I'm thinking, like, where are these fucking quips, bro? It's a horse here. Do you know what I mean? Glue factory, something like that. Do you know what I mean? He's focusing on the toys a bit too much. But anyway, the pivot goes into Freya having gone to Equine Therapy. That's one of the charities that they support. And they launch a toy show appeal. And I was like, what? Supporting kids? I thought burning fucking Lewis's to the ground was the only way to support kids. What's this about an appeal? And a big box opens up to launch the toy show appeal. Keelty brings the cameraman over to point in the box to show that it was actually two people who shot the box open, who pushed it open. One of them threw confetti and the other one opened the box. It's nice. He's breaking the fourth wall. Patrick Keelty is RTE's Deadpool. I've said it time and time again. He gives Freya a trip to Paris to see the show jumping at the Olympics. She can't believe her luck. At this point, I was wondering, do they like have a drawer full of the most random fucking tickets? Because I know they buy a lot of tickets for shit to give to, like, you know, sponsors. Maybe not so much anymore, but that was a huge thing in the big tub scandal, the RTE scandal, that they'd like spend a lot of money on tickets for things. Are they like going through a drawer being like, fuck, is anyone into show jumping? Is there anyone into show jumping? Is there anyone who wants to see go on a train? can anyone just find a train kid? I'd say it's someone's full-time job to leaf through the drawers, the half-empty drawers of tickets in Donnybrook, and just find kids that will want to go to the things that they have tickets for. But, you know, it's a smart way of doing it as well. And we've got Aaron and Ethan. They're pushing kind of dino things. They come out, they're wearing masks. Keelty lets out a huge, ah! Aaron really doesn't know how to go roar, so he goes, which is a funny noise, is all I'll say about that. And then we meet, and then they have the full lineup of all the toys that I was trying to push Sonny on. You know, fucking Gujitsu monsters of like, just these big fighting fucking jacked, like, you know, hammerhead sharks and stuff. And the Beast Slab, which looks unreal. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like a conical flask that you pour in on the top, right? An ingredient. It fills up with goo, right? And then you press a button and release a thing. And then the goo kind of secretes down and out into the base and reveals a fucking action figure in there. Now, it's obviously just a false floor that somehow mechanically puts in a toy in this conical flask somehow from the base. Don't know how it works. It's likely a one-and-done toy, but I'm fucking here for it. And while Aaron and Ethan were talking, I didn't know what they were saying. I just kept looking at it because Ethan says, no, we can't let this thing out until it stops blinking, which goes on for ages, right? So I don't know why it takes that long. Anyway, I was hooked on that. I was really trying to push that on the young fella. He didn't want it this year, maybe another year. They also bring out like a Transformer toy that actually changes. These kids are fucking spoiled. Like, you kids today, fucking spoiled. You're talking about an Optimus Prime that can just turn into a fucking truck. Come on. I need to be like, Dad, will you turn this back for me? Yeah. Dad, will you turn him back to a robot, please? Yes. Dad, I'm finished doing that. Can you turn him back into a truck, please? Yeah. You know, don't know how to do it. Maybe I do. It's that thing that's 1% too hard. I'm not going to do it, my man. You're going to fucking figure that out, right? You know? But anyway, it reveals a shark. A shark is one of the Beast Lab things that comes out after it eventually is revealed. It's a bit of a letdown, I have to say. I think that has done that more damage than good because it looks amazing in the Smith's catalogue and looked pretty shit. I'm going to give the Beast Lab toy, 2 stars because it's still a lot of bells and whistles. You know, it's not totally shy. I'm going to give Aaron 3 stars because he was very chatty. He got a cool voice, very cute. Ethan, I'm so sorry, man. You're a good looking kid. You're gonna have a great life ahead of you. But I'm gonna be giving you 1 star, bro, because it was fairly. You know, I know you were very focused on, you know, the Beast Lab. No, I'm gonna give you 2. I'll give you 2 stars. All right, I'll give you 2 stars. You eventually got the Beast. You brought the focus back to the Beast Lab when we needed to see what was happening with the Beast Lab. So you were just very diligent. And, you know, best luck to the two of you, right? Then moving on, we got Sadie, who's a Gale Gore. She's got a Fania Ore, man. And she's got Irish dolls. One's called the Eco Latte or something. It's all about eco toys, which is great. Which is great. I mean, I do have to say, Happy Meals are pretty shite these days. With the greatest respect to saving the earth and all that, right? The Happy Meals are pretty shite these days. I'm not talking about going back to wasteful plastic, right? But it's like, you know, Mario is the movie. I'm like, unreal. And I'm like, here, Sonny, you should get a Happy Meal. He's like, yeah, I might. No, you should, man. And eventually he's like, all right, I will, you know, because I want to see what the Mario toy is. And it's made a card. Now, they slot together. It's very well done. But like a fucking plastic Mario toy I could be playing with. You know what I mean? Like, I used to just play with so many Happy Meals toys. Just give me a fucking box of loose Happy Meal toys, man. Anyway, they're a bit shit now. I'm all for, you know, eco toys and all this, you know. And she shows off, it's a doll that made her own clothes. There's some dolls made of card. There's a Grand Designs kind of like style eco dollhouse. But my friend Claire pointed out that Sadie is wearing a dress made exclusively out of plastic. It was a sequined dress that is literally head to toe plastic. There's that as well. And it's not the only time we're going to see that dress tonight. Sadie, look, you did a good job, love, but I was kind of a bit busy. I think that was when I started making popcorn. So, you know, I wasn't fully watching, but thank you. And it's 2 stars. Then we go to Sophie, who's watching the show in what looks like her own personal cinema. And then someone told me that it was actually a hospital and I felt bad. But she's from Tipperary. She's been in Crumlin. And she's watching it in like a little cinema room. I think it's in the hospital. I realized that. I thought it was her own personal cinema and I felt bad then after I said that. And so then I was like, how is she going to get there from Tip? And they're like, no, she's not in tip. She's in Crumlin. Anyway, she walks in. It's almost like her dad's in there fucking an hour before, hotboxing, probably watching Bob Marley live or something because it's so steamy in there and they do nothing to wipe the lens. Can we not do a fucking whip around? Can we spend less on ordering in from Romeo's in Donnybrook and spend more money on unfoggable lenses? Because isn't that the first time this has happened on your watch, Keelty? All right, on your watch, on your head, so be it. Anyway, we move on. We got a bit of top quality trad. Here we fucking go. Every year, it's always a fucking sesh. Starts off a little slow. One of the kids is called Dallin. That made me laugh so much. What's his name? Fucking Dallin. It starts kind of slow. They're singing kind of, you know, about Caledonia. And then we get into a fucking proper sesh. Proper tap dancers. The Bowron kids are fucking killing it. Then you got an acoustic kid. Red hair. He's singing Wild Rover. He's got the voice of a fucking angel. He's absolutely incredible. It was, I would have to say, I would give some of the tap dancers 3 stars. I would give Wild Rover Kid 4 stars. But I do not give star ratings to the acts usually. So sorry about that, but you'll get them for that. And then we have Sports Kid Stevie, and he's reading a book about sporting heroes from Ireland. He mentions even in it that, Patrick Keelty is mentioned in the book because he was the sub goalkeeper and made it to the All-Ireland. And then Keelty says, yeah, and then I was the full goalkeeper and we didn't get to the All-Ireland for the next 3 years. And then there's some game, some Irish sports game called Antics. And Stevie's like, yeah, it's a very good game if, and he whispers in Keelty's ear, if you have someone to read the cards. But he accidentally speaks straight into the mic. I'd say he was fucking mortified with that. He reveals to be a Liverpool fan. Keelty is mortified and he storms off. He shows some of the other sporting toys he has. He's got a model of Croke Park. He says he got it off his sister. He says, what do you think of that? He says, it's very nice but delicate. I felt like he was talking directly to me there. I feel like that would be on my very nice but delicate would be my autobiography. He does 5 frog hops. This kid would do very well in the bleep test. They do a bit of an obstacle course, but Stevie cheats and he grabs a hurl that has a ball attached. Now, I think what happened here, because it was the big hurl, is that Keelty was meant to grab the big one and Stevie was meant to try and do it with the one other thing, and then Keelty was meant to win by cheating, but the kid grabbed the wrong one because Keelty took too long with the dribbling. Look, it's a bit of a fuck up. I don't think it was really thought through. And then Stevie sings Ireland's Call, which they fucking love out there. That is the Montrose national anthem out there. They fucking love it. Bundiaki and Peter Manny come out. Stevie says, this is the best day of my life. He has his hand out for ages, but the rugby lads just fucking seize up. They don't see it. They just don't do anything. It was like watching the fucking New Zealand match all over again. They're just like, totally seized out, totally blimped it, with the greatest respect to those two heroes. And Stevie has a great time. I would give Stevie, you got a good bit of personality. I'm going to give him a 3 as well. No one has made it into the 4 yet so far, you know. No, he's good, actually. He's good. He kept the show going. It was adequate. You know, if I was more moody, I'd give him a 2. I'm giving them just about 3, all right? So, anyway. And then a word from our sponsors, PTSD, right? PTS fucking D. And their whole thing is, oh, we're going to show nostalgic moments from the late history. And I'm like, at first I'm like, it just says like nostalgic moments or something, you know, remembering the best moments. And I'm thinking, oh, great, we're going to see like, you know, some moments. I've never really watched that. They never really kind of throw callbacks how long this toy show has been going on, you know? It'd be nice to see some moments from like Pat Kenny and Gabo and all the lads. But that's not what they're doing. They're just like, so they say nostalgic moments and then it'll just like flash across the screen, the writing. Remember when the kid met his hero? And another one would be like, when Army Dad came home, you know? And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Remember when the kid met his hero? You lazy fucking shower of bastards. If that isn't already AI, sack whoever that fucking copywriter is. Remember when the kid met his hero. Magical moments. You fucking kidding me? Lazy. Greedy. Anyway, we come back and then there's a bit of a Barbie set piece. All the songs from Barbie. There's a piano and a soloist. They're very good. They sound really great. But then you've got the kind of Kate McKinnon ugly Barbie. I think she's very strong. She absolutely smashes. Then you got some kids coming out there rapping. Keelty is dressed as Ken in a box. And some kid comes out and says, back in your box, Baldy. Baldy. Which I thought was a good gag. I never really thought Keelty was bald. He must have contributed that one himself, because I don't think anyone would see that about him. It's a good gag. It's fine. They move on. Keelty's still rocking the abs. It's a bit funny, right? You know, it's a fun little costume. And then we meet Kenza. She's a new girl with a kind of shown little Barbie, Barbie's Dreamhouse kind of vibe. And she's rocking the exact same dress as Sadie. The head-to-toe plastic number. And I'm sorry, Sadie. I think Ken's is rocking it a little bit with the greatest respect. I think Ken's is rocking it a little bit better than Sadie with the greatest respect. She mentions that she got one of her favourite dolls. It's called Ornia, which is the same name as her mam in Irish. Anne. She got it for Eid, which was nice. Just mentioned a bit of Eid there, you know, without bringing too much attention to it. She puts a little one of the Barbies called Candy in a water slide. Then this is one of the bits of the night. Then Ornia is like a little Irish dancer kind of doll, and then they play Riverdance, and then Keelty comes out with a load of other dolls and a stick, and I just seeing little dolly feet just tip tap on a table make me so happy. I would say Kenza is a 3-star, a strong 3, but I don't know if Keelty's asking the right questions. Just a little bit, just too much fucking focus on the toys. And we're not getting a lot to know about these kids. But all is going to be fucking forgiven in a second. Because then we have 7-year-old fucking Shamey. He's coming out with the Lego set. This fucking lad sounds like he's been smoking since the day he's been born. He's got an amazing voice. He's from Clare. He says stuff like he holds court whenever he speaks. He says, "I'll tell you what, Patrick. I bet you didn't think you had something in common with a chap from Clare." And they said, "What's that?" "Both are for social." And laughs his ass off. He just holds court, says things at the right pace, delivers a punchline with an inflection of a joke, and it's the biggest joke of the night. The audience go fucking mental for it. And he says his granny's got an old collection of Lego, and she goes, "She wouldn't let me bring it out of my own house, but she let me bring it to the Big Smoke." He's good TV. There was even a petition afterwards to buy him a pint after the show. Do you know what I mean? He even said that his uncle had to take the day off work to fix a Lego set for him. And he's like, "Where does he work?" "Now, Patrick, I wouldn't want him getting into any trouble." Like, he's fucking amazing. He had to take the Monday off school. And we see a little bit about his life. He says that his granddad doesn't want him to become, I think he says he wants to be a bricklayer. And his granddad's like, "You should get a job that you're passionate about, like a postman or a guard, something you're passionate about." And as he's like, and it's what system says, "Hey, you picked your own career, let me pick mine." You know? Chap's having fucking ructions at home at the age of 7, you know? Let me live my own fucking life, old timer, right? You had your old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you, man, you know? And I'm going to give Shamey 4 stars. I think he was probably the standout kid of the whole show without calling it already, but he was probably the standout boy of the show. He absolutely smashed it. He was soundbite after soundbite. He was clear, he was legible. He held court in a way that only confident coaches can do. He was amazing. Then Elfish is back. He's doing some swinging arms. They've got some post. Keelty's got a train hat, some white gloves. And here we go. The cars are fucking switching it up. So this is what I love this year, right? Rather than just get the parade of people coming through, right? You've got, cars coming through. Fisher-Price cars. Driving cars. You've got, you know, people on quad bikes. Bicycles, which I don't think should be allowed to compete. Lads coming in on the fucking bikes. I boo every year the kids who come by on the bikes. Give me a 4x4. Give me all the things that I'm not allowed to have. I have a bike. I don't want to see it. Not anymore, actually. I got it stolen. But what they've switched it up this year, rather than just the parade of vehicles, there's also costumes. So these kids are coming out in costumes. Emer comes out. She dresses as a princess. She's smizing. She's smiling with her eyes. Then they bring out a fucking kid who's just wearing a GAA kit. That could be any old Culchie's kid. Do you know what I mean? Like, the amount of Culchie kids who come on that show just wearing the fucking gag gear anyway, in no way is that a costume. But it's a quality parade. I really appreciate them changing it up with the costumes. I think more of that. Kids in costumes is always good TV. Then we get some kids in funny hats reviewing books. And you got Charles. He's got a gorgeous voice. He does a Yeats quote, and he fucking kills it. Although he keeps emphasizing the word spread, and then you want to spread, and no, and don't tread on my dreams. And gets a huge pop from the audience. He's also an amazing artist. He whips out an amazing painting he did of Keelty. Keelty's likeness is great. Keelty was right to point out he does actually look better in the painting than he does in real life. Jack from Dublin loves to read. You got a couple of books here. Mr. Wolf Goes to the Ball, which is about a trans wolf, which I actually read to my young fella. It's a really good book. It's about a cross-dressing wolf, but it's a wolf that just prefers to wear dresses. But it's really sweet. You got an amazing book from Aoife Dooley that gets mentioned. And then you got Sophia in the Sombrero. thick Spanish accent, and then I find out she's from Cork. And you know when you have that kind of thing where you're like, what accent is that? And you can't quite recognise it, and you're like, this is foreign. What accent is that? I thought it was Spanish, then I thought it was Dundalk, and then it turned out to be Cork, so more fool me. She raps, but she forgets some of the words, the poor thing. Now, I've been there, love. I have been there with, you know, live audiences when I've forgotten what I've done and I'm like, ah, and just stop the song. I've been there in situations where I'm just at a fucking afters and I'm like, let's get a fucking sing song going and getting everyone invested in the idea of injecting more energy into the night and then forgetting the lyrics and not only embarrassing myself but ruining the night, sucking the life out of the night by forgetting the lyrics after telling everyone we're going to have a sing song. Do you know what I mean? I know what it's like, and to be honest, you know, some parents are actor parents. They'll get the reps in with you overnight. Maybe Sophia didn't have that privilege, and I feel for her, and I hope she's not kicking herself in the next few years, but I fucking definitely will be. Anyway, then you got some kids playing Sonic and Mario. One's playing Sonic, one's playing Mario. Paddy has a bit of a dig at them, saying, what I love about these kids is that they're like, I'm sure I can multitask, play a game and talk at the same time. And I actually, you know, I actually could be Arse being here. And they're like, I actually am Arse being here. Sorry. You know, one of the kids actually gets really defensive. And I feel like they're like, you know, hang on, sorry, you asked us to play this game at the same time. You know what I mean? Don't be having a dig at me. They say hi to some of their, they do a couple of call outs. Shane says, I want to say hi to my teacher and I want to say hi to my principal. And he's like, hi to your principal. What a lick. Very good gag. More of that kind of shit. The kids can take it. You don't have to be so gentle with the kids. The kids can take it. Then Bonnie comes out. She sings Peaches from Mario. She fucking smashes it. We see a montage of some of the kids from Jack and Jill Foundation. I start crying. Then we head to Japan. You got a kid. Hang on. What am I giving these kids? All right. Sorry. I'm going to give Charles with the voice 3.5 stars. I'm going to give Jack from Dublin, who likes to read, he's very energetic, I'm going to give him 2 stars. I'm going to give Sophia 2 stars as well, because it had potential, could have been a 4-star performance, and I'm so sorry it wasn't. I'm going to give, what are these kids called playing the games? I don't know, they're forgettable. I'm not even going to give them any stars. Bonnie comes out, she sings Peaches from Mario. She fucking smashes this. She got a serious fucking set of pipes on her. She honestly sings like she's in Journey. Do you know what I mean? Like proper, like Steve Perry kind of, hold on, you know, better than that though. And we see a montage of some of the kids from Jack and Jill Foundation, and I'm crying loads, and it's very, very sweet. Then we head to Scarlett, who's 10. She's into Japanese toys. She's got some cool shit over here. She got manga. They're talking about anime. They've, for her surprise, could have flown this kid to Japan, but no, obviously the drawer of corporate tickets had been raided and the tickets to Japan had been snatched up by someone else, so unfortunately she gets a drawing of herself as an anime woman. And she's a real pro though. She's very cool. The toys are quite cool. I mean, it's cool, they got video games, they got cool Japanese toys, you know. They not any superhero stuff this year, but they got stuff for everyone this year, and there was some toys that would have interested me. And then you see the Hello Kitty thing that's kind of like a latte. They pour a bit of water on it, a plush toy comes out, one and done. Do you know what I mean? But I'd say these kids just love toy experiences, do you know, even if it's just one, just so they can get a video for their TikTok. Is it the way it should be going? Probably not. You know, you're having to go to McDonald's for the wasteful energy of not having any good plastic toys, replacing them with fucking cardboard toys. But yeah, you'll do one and done Hello Kitty latte toys. Who am I to judge? I'm going to give her 2 stars. I kind of zoned out here. Then you have a live band singing Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo. Sounds fucking amazing. Too many guitarists, though. One of them is constantly playing an F chord and the other is constantly playing an A chord. Drummer's killing it. Singer is a fucking star. She's going to be huge. She was absolutely incredible. And I just maybe realized that I actually had not heard the song before, so that was quite cool. And then I've just been listening to Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo loads. Then you got Carol, and her kids are in Australia. You know exactly where this is going. They send a video saying, oh, we'd love to be home, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then the ma, her daughter, walks out on stage. Cameraman freaks out, turns the camera off. Then they're like, oh, forget you saw that. And then they're like, well, do you know what? They're actually not. It's not just a video. They're actually here. And you're like, this has all happened so fast. Like, where is the suspense? Where is Ollie? And how long have they been away, Carol? And what would you do to see them again? You know? And how long have they been gone? And is she your only daughter? Twist, twist, twist. Pull those heartstrings tighter, tighter, tighter. But none of that. It's like, oh, do you miss them? Yeah, I do. Well, they're here. Okay. you know? And, like, was there not more of a story to it? You know what I mean? Or, you know, like Army Dad or something like that, you know? I'm just saying, I don't know if I think the story was a bit vanilla. Oh, they live in Australia and here they are, you know? But every time I see these fucking coming home from Australia stories, I'm like, fuck no. My kids better not fucking leave me, go to Australia. I'm going to bring them to Australia when Sonny is like 10 and when Indy's like 7. I'm going to go to Australia and I'm going to go meet some like Steve Irwin type, but like the worst one. A one review, one star Yelp reviewed Steve Irwin, man of the bush, bushman, right? To bring us on a safari. And I'm going to get my son stung with a fucking black widow. And I'm going to get my daughter stung with a scorpion or a snake or something like that. Not one that's like, you know, not like, maybe not a black widow, but like something bad that would be like really hurt and we'll have to go to hospital for like 2 days, right? Not going to die or anything like that. You know, we'll get the, you know, the anti-venom into them in time. But just so they'd be like, do you know what, actually, Dad, I don't think I ever want to go back to Australia. Oh, really, son? Oh, okay. Oh, that's okay, son. Don't you worry about that. I turned to my wife. Yes! Yes! And you said I was insane planning this for 10 years. You said I was insane planning biting my son with a fucking snake for 10 years. But look at this. Worst case scenario, what are they going to do? America? I can deal with America, you know? And they're never leaving me. But look, overall, my review, I would say Keelty did a competent job. He always felt like it was in safe hands. It was not cringe like it normally can be. But I thought it was low risk, low reward. And I think with Tubbs, you get high risk, sometimes high cringe, and sometimes high reward. For as empathetic as Keelty is, and he's a man who's not afraid of hiding his emotions, and I think that's what we need to see on TV a lot more, and it was great to see. I still think there's a big, big fucking, you know, Tubbity-shaped hole in that show, with the greatest respect to Keelty. Tubbs is on the way out anyway, or whatever. But I still think Tubbs, number one. Come at me if you disagree. Listen, I am going to be performing in Vicar Street on the 5th of April 2024, and tickets are available now on my link in bio. Go to my Instagram for all details, or just go on Ticketmaster and look up Tony Cantwell. They're not on sale just yet. They're going to be on sale on Thursday. They've been announced today, my show in Vicar Street. More dates to be announced. I'll be touring all over Ireland. I'll be touring hopefully a couple of UK dates, definitely London. Don't you worry, I keep saying I'm coming to London, but I definitely am. But it's kicking off in Vicar Street on the 5th of April 2025. That is a 2024. That is a Friday. And I will see you there. Also, if you're in London on Thursday, this Thursday, I'll see you there. I'm going to be in the London Irish Centre. Me and Alison Spittle are presenting Not the Late Late Toy Show, where we're going to have a crazy act of drag, of singing, of dancing, of games, of audience interactions with myself and Alison Spittle, and a lot of fun. And we're even going to have some Late Late Toy Show guests maybe making an appearance in digital artificial form. It's going to be a lot of fun. So do come to that show. That's in the London Irish Centre in London. And there's tickets, a handful of tickets still available. I likely will sell out. But look, thanks very much for listening to this podcast. I love you. Thank you to Headstuff for editing this podcast and publishing it. All the best. Bye-bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.